from Sportsnet.ca. Chris Johnson. How you doing, Chris?
Good, guys. You guys are bringing the heat today, even though it's a Friday. I like it.
This show has sucked from front to back, and you are a kind man.
Yeah.
You are a very kind man. Thank you. Well, it's until you came on, it sucked.
Well,
now it's
your
really
weekend could have started after that Nick Diaz interview yesterday, I figure. So.
What'd you think of it?
Well, I don't know anything about UFC, but that was fantastic.
You're not the first person to say those exact words.
That's the best compliment anyone could give us on the interview.
Yeah. I don't think we did anything.
I asked two questions. I mean, I did nothing. That was a layup. David Steckel, how much was he used on this team in the past, Chris? Because we're trying to hammer it out.
Well, he was picked up as a utility forward, and that's sort of the role he filled. I mean, predominantly was used lower in the lineup, third and fourth line. But as you guys alluded to, you know, before I came on, he did actually spend a little bit of time on the top line at the end of last season. And, you know, I think, you know, at one point, Randy maybe saw him as a potential sort of shutdown type of guy, but you know, it was pretty clear this year from the outset that he didn't have much of a long-term future here in Toronto, and he's, you know, mostly been in the press box this season.
Chris, I agree. He spent most of the time on the top line at the end of last season. Must be all the Mary Browns I had in the break.
You just crushed
Hey,
Mary
Lance,
Brown.
Stop eating it, Lance. Leave it alone. It's chicken.
Mary Brown's bought this guy chicken. He's happier than a pig.
Oh, I got a third wind here. I'm ready to go.
Chris Johnson of Sportsnet.ca joining us here on the line. A lot of people, because of the way they lost that game last night, in Leafs Nation at least, Chris, want us to hit the panic button. We think that we're a game away from the panic button and that the Winnipeg game is pretty big this weekend. Would you tend to agree with the way we are breaking it down, or the way some of Leafs Nation is breaking it down?
No, I agree with you. I mean, it's not panic button time just yet. And, you know, with the way this team actually started the year, they kind of built in a little bit of a cushion where they could have a stretch like they've just gone through. You know, where obviously they played three games against tough opponents and mixed in a bad, you know, outing in Winnipeg earlier this week. But, you know, I think that they've earned a little bit of buffer now. But, you know, it's pretty clear there isn't much, you know, rope left to hang on here. And, you know, I think that they do have to come up and play a good game tomorrow night. But, you know, I can see, you know, and I even wrote in my column last night on Sportsnet.ca, I can see, you know, where that loss sort of reminds you a little bit of last season. You know, the Leafs really had that game in hand, although they did only score just one goal. And, you know, had Kadri score on his great chance, could have made it 2-0. Maybe it doesn't end up as a loss last night. I can see where people are getting a little nervous about this team, but let's see how they do against Winnipeg, who are on a good run right now. But, you know, I don't think are a better team than the Leafs are, and we'll see how tomorrow night goes.
Chris Johnson, Sportsnet.ca here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Chris, with Joffrey Lupul seemingly coming back into the lineup tomorrow, where does Randy Carlyle put him?
Well, it looks like he's going to start him with Kadri and Kuhlman right now. But, you know, Randy did say that, you know, he probably isn't that far necessarily from putting him back up with Pozak and Kessel if things don't go well. And, you know, I'm very curious to see how this goes because, you know, Joffrey Lupul, you know, he's only played five NHL games in the last calendar year, basically, because he missed the end of last season with an injury and then the lockout, and he only gotten a couple games at the start of this season. And, you know, there's expectations on this guy. You know, he signed that big five-year extension, you know, at the start of the season, and, you know, Randy made no bones about it today that he has to come in and contribute offensively at some point. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch how he goes here, because Lupul himself did acknowledge after practice that he's not 100% right now, but, you know, he and the doctors have determined that it's safe for him to play, you know, but there's going to be a little bit of a challenge for him, I think.
Well, it's good to see him back in the lineup, Chris. And I do not want to break down a Kevin Marshall deal, but adding a D-man at this time is rather curious. Could it be a harbinger of things to come, given the backlog of D-men in the Toronto Maple Leafs system and perhaps the trade deadline upon us?
Possibly, you know, but it's worth noting, too, that the Leafs, or the Marlies, rather, have only been playing a lot of games with five defensemen. So, you know, while the Leafs have a lot of depth up here at the NHL level, down in the AHL, that they haven't had quite that same depth because of some injuries they've had down there. So, you know, the Kevin Marshall deal that you're referencing to me might just be a depth move for the Marlies, but, you know, obviously there's a lot of attention on the Leafs' blue line right now, and, you know, I still think that it is a work in progress. And, you know, I am in the camp that I do think Jake Gardner will find his way here to play for the Leafs shortly, but, you know, clearly, you know, some more roster tinkering and moves have to be made before that can happen.
So that's the kind of knowledge we bring you on for. Five guys, Marlies,
There you go.
I don't got that knowledge.
Because I ain't contributing anything.
Chris Johnson. Right
Chris there. Johnson, Sportsnet.ca here on Tim and Sid. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You mentioned the blue line, Chris. What did you make of John Michael Lyles back in the lineup last night?
You know, I thought he looked good. You know, and I would expect him to stay in the lineup at least for tomorrow night's game against Winnipeg because, you know, I did think he made an impact. He got involved. He created some offense. And, you know, he probably did enough to keep himself in the lineup. And, you know, I always did kind of wonder why they let him sit for so long. It was nearly a month yeah. he was out. And, you know, when you're going to carry eight defensemen, and I know why they're doing that. I mean, if you look at any team that goes into the playoffs, usually it's very rare. I mean, the LA Kings actually bucked this trend last spring, but it's very rare for them to only play with the same six defensemen. I think you do need depth on the blue line, but you know, you would have expected maybe that they try to work him in a little bit more, not let him sit for so long. But you know, it's pretty clear the message got through, at least to me. And you know, let's face it, he's not going to be the Leafs top defenseman by any stretch, but I thought he was a contributor last night, and you know, I think he's a chance maybe to help, you know, generate some own offense himself.
Senior hockey writer, Sportsnet, Chris Johnson, joining us here on Tim and Sid. Have you talked to Jay Feaster since breaking the news that if they had have gotten through on the Ryan O'Reilly offer sheet that they wouldn't have gotten the player?
No, I have not.
No?
What he meant to ask you is, have you spoken to Jay Feaster since you broke his face? With your ninja-like journalistic skills, have you spoken to him? Have you reached him in any way whatsoever?
I've not. No, I did try to reach him prior to that story being published when I first did kind of saw what had happened, but we haven't spoken. And, you know, I'm not sure if there is any real reason to speak. It wasn't by any stretch on my part an attempt to single him out. I just thought it was interesting that this had fallen through the cracks. As
yeah.
It did.
And that's not what I'm trying to insinuate here. I just and I'm sure he's busy trying to figure out how to dismantle his team. Even if Jerome McGinley doesn't want him to, because that's where they're at.
What are you talking about? Sven Barkshi's going to be, like, really good.
Well, you know what's funny is that, you know, I'm getting a sense a little bit that maybe they're not going to dismantle the team.
And,
you know, to me, looking, you know, if you look at the big picture and the trade deadline coming up here in less than 3 weeks, you know, Calgary could be one of the big stories, you know, even if they choose to stand pat. But it just, you know, it doesn't seem to me that there's a real willingness there to do what, you know, basically people have been calling them to do the last 2 or 3 years and sort of move forward. I'm not sure that we're going to see any of the big trades that we're hoping from them. And, you know, I guess that's their prerogative, but, you know, it probably sets them back a little if they're going to hang on to some of their veteran players and just, you know, keep the status quo.
Yeah, and one of our listeners said it to me, and I wish I could remember the dude's name to give him credit, but he said they're in year three of what should have been their 5-year rebuilding plan. But they haven't started the rebuild. And when you look at the Western Conference, Vancouver, 32 points, they're in third. The bottom is 24. We might see a pretty quiet trade deadline. Last year, because all the teams in the hunt, it cooled a little bit. It might be really cold this year.
Yeah, I get that sense. You know, in speaking to a few GMs this week, that everyone's sort of looking around waiting to see what's going to happen. And, you know, one sort of interesting trend, if you will, is there's been a lot of players picked up on waivers this year, like an exorbitant amount compared to normal. And it's almost because it's very difficult to acquire players in trades now, even small trades. I mean, I guess the Steckel deal is an example of the odd small trade that gets made, but you know, there's just not a lot of player movement in general. And I think for anyone looking to get better, a lot of GMs have had to turn to the waiver wire. And even though it's a trade deadline coming up soon here, I'm just not sure, you know, we're going to see, you know, the volume that we're used to just because of this shortened season, kind of a weird year.
Chris, final question. You mentioned the Nick Diaz interview off the front. Despite the fact you are not an MMA guy, and if you can find time after your duties tomorrow night at the ACC, will you try and watch the pay-per-view?
I hadn't given it a thought. Do you have any suggestions? Is there somewhere I can go watch?
Well, I'm assuming Real Sports will have it.
It might be a tough ticket to get in there, though.
You're Chris Johnson. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You brought down the Calgary Flames organization single-handedly.
Tim and Sid party anywhere to watch that thing or what?
We'll talk a little
Sid's
later.
Sid's going.
Yeah, I'm going.
You're going.
Hey, well, the bibliothèque, baby. I am going.
Wow.
It'll be a fun night. But I was just curious if that interview made you any more curious to drop $60 and watch it. I'm just curious.
I'm not going to drop the $60, but if it's easily accessible, I would watch because I am curious. I mean, it adds a little extra flavor, I guess, to that fight.
All right, fair enough.
But, you know, the UFC, I just, I'm sort of in their demographic, but just never has quite appealed to me.
Understood, and I don't think you're alone. I don't think you're alone, good sir. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the information, and let's do it again soon, sir.
Right on, boys. Have a good weekend.